But this morning, 1 John chapter 2, if you want to turn in your Bibles, please. 1 John and chapter 2, very important passage for all Christians as we think about God's command for us to be separate from the world. And notice here in verse 15 of 1 John chapter 2, God says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." So our command and our focus and the title of our message this morning is "Love Not the World." Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We pray that you would be with our service. Lord, the Holy Spirit would use your powerful word to touch every heart in this room and those watching online. Lord, just work miracles in lives through your powerful word. Lord, some need encouraged, some need convicted, some need just special comfort from you. And I pray, Lord, that you would be with those like the Sabbathpathies. I know they're watching right now. Bless them and encourage them. I know Beth is watching. I pray you'll help her to heal. And Lord, I just pray that we'll have a special time in your word, that you'll be glorified through this service. Use your word now. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Love not the world. This world, whether we like it or not, it's the devil's. Did you know that? The Bible clearly teaches this. This is not our world. This is his world. Our world is in the future. Amen. Our home is somewhere else. We're just strangers and pilgrims passing through. You know, the Bible teaches that he is the ruler of the darkness of this world. He's called the prince of this world. He's called the god of this world. And all through the scriptures, we're told this is his world. He is the one running it. And it is his system. It's his mess, if you will. And God says, don't love it. Go to Ephesians chapter 2, if you would, verse 2. And that is our command this morning. Love not the world. And this passage is going to expound on what that means for us as God's children. But we're not to love it. Notice Ephesians 2:2, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Notice the passage there says the course of this world, this world system, it's run by the devil. And all through the New Testament, we as God's children are commanded to be separate from it. Most of us know Romans 12:1, right? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. But the next verse says, and be not conformed to this world. Don't conform to this world, even though it tries to conform us. God says, don't be. And if you would look at 2 Corinthians 6:17, the Bible clearly teaches that we are commanded to be separate from this world. We're not to love it. Notice 2 Corinthians 6:17, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and so forth. Be separate. We're commanded all through the scriptures to not love and to be separate from this world. We're told in Colossians 3:2, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. If you're a born again Christian, your home is in heaven. You have a mansion waiting for you. Amen. We're just temporarily here. And when we get to heaven, as Paul says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. We're going to look back and say, I wish I wouldn't have wasted so much time loving that world because it was the devil's. So that is our command this morning. Love not the world. We're told that through faith we overcome the world. And we're not to love it. So go back to our passage, verse 15. Look what God says. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. What God is saying is you cannot love the Lord and love the world at the same time. Now, we try. But God says we can't do it. And there's two reasons. Number one, the way we're made, we can't love two things at once that are opposites. We just can't do it. And Jesus tells us that. Go to Matthew 6:24. And number two, God considers those that love the world his enemy. Notice Matthew 6:24, Jesus here talking about that you can't love two masters or even serve them. Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, mammon there, talking about money. The Bible says the money is the root of all evil. It's a part of this world. We're not to love it. We're not to love the world. But go to James 4:4, where God makes it very clear that if we are a friend of the world, we are God's enemy. And I know those are some strong words, but God wrote them. Amen? We're commanded, love not the world. If any man love the world, look what it says, the love of the Father is not in him. Look at James 4:4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Now, none of us want to be God's enemy. We're his children. We love him. He saved us from hell. He gave us eternal life. He gave us the Holy Spirit. He gave us a home in heaven. But God says that if we're loving the world, we're actually his enemy. Think about that. So love not the world, we're commanded. And if we love the world, the love of the Father is not in us. So what is the world? What does he mean? Well, God actually defines this system for us in three major categories. Verse 16 of our passage, 1 John chapter 2. These are important, and they really encompass the devil's system in these three categories. And those are, of course, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And so let's think about those for a moment. And first, I want to point out something. It's very important. When we look at the Garden of Eden, and when the devil tempted Eve, did you know that he tempted her in these three areas? Let's look at it. Go to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6. And just keep in mind these three things, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So notice Genesis 3, 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was, number one, good for food. So which one would that be? Lust of the flesh, right? And it was pleasant to the eyes. Well, that's an obvious one. Lust of the eyes. And a tree to be desired to make one wise. There's the pride of life. So it looked good to taste. It looked good to the eyes, but it also, why did she ultimately want it? Because the devil promised her that if she would partake of it, she would have more knowledge, more wisdom. You will be like gods, understanding good and evil. That's pride. Now I'll go to Matthew 4, and I want to show you that when the devil tempted Jesus in the desert, he did the exact same thing and tempted Christ in the same three categories of temptation that we read about here in 1 John. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So notice Matthew chapter 4, and look at verse 3. It says, and when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. So which one's that? Lust of the flesh. You think he was hungry after 40 days of not eating? None of us could even do that if we tried. But our precious Savior went 40 days and 40 nights without food so that he could be tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin, as we're told in Hebrews 4:15. And so the devil, the first thing he does is said, command these stones be made bread because I know you're hungry. Lust of the flesh. So later on, he answered and said, of course, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Then the devil, taking them up into the holy city, setteth them on a pinnacle of the temple, and he saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, wait a minute, the devil's quoting scripture? Yep, he knows the Bible better than you do. He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. So, what was that one? It's pride. Prove prove that you're the Son of God by jumping off and watching the angels catch you just before you hit the ground. That wasn't all. Then it says, again, the devil taketh them up to an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. And that, of course, the lust of the eyes. So, the devil knows what we're made of. He knows our weaknesses. And he has set up this entire system called the world. And God defines it for us in these three categories: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So let's just briefly talk about each one of those if we could. So the lust of the flesh, it's pretty obvious, isn't it? Adultery, fornication, lust, and on we could go. But ultimately, it's pleasing the old man, isn't it? And Jesus has so much to say about it. He talks to men. He says, whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart, in Matthew 5:28. Romans 13:14, make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And 1 Peter 2:11, abstain from fleshly lusts. We could go on and on, but look at one verse in Ephesians 2:3, and that is, the lust of the flesh is the pleasing of the old man. Now, if you've been saved longer than 10 minutes, you know what this battle's all about, don't you? It never ends, by the way. It doesn't matter if you've been saved 40 or 50 years. The Bible says in Galatians 5:17, the spirit and the flesh are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. Paul talked in Romans 7 about his own battle with the flesh. And it doesn't go away. The old man just keeps crying out to be pleased and satisfied. And as we talked this morning in Sunday school, we have to put on the new man. So notice Ephesians 2:3, among whom also we had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That's the first category of the temptations of sin in this old world, is the lust of the flesh. Let's look at the second one, the lust of the eyes. Primarily talking about covetousness. You think the world uses this one against us? You ever heard of an ad on TV? What do you think that's all about? It's trying to make us want more than we have, isn't it? That's what it's all about. I want this. I want more. I want bigger. As the man we read in Luke, I'm just going to build bigger barns. But it's all about wanting more. And by the way, this was one of the Ten Commandments, wasn't it? Don't covet your neighbor's house. Don't covet your neighbor's wife. Don't covet his manservant, his maidservant, his ox, his ass, or anything that's thy neighbor's. The lust of the eyes. And even David understood this. Go to Psalm 119:37, and we'll see. And then we'll see how Solomon understood it as well. But Psalm 119, look at verse 37. David said, turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in the way. Lord, help me to protect my eyes from beholding vanity. The lust of the eyes. What we see. You know, Job said, I made a covenant with mine eyes that I might not think upon a maiden. Job 31:1. He understood the battle of the eyes. David definitely understood the battle of the eyes, because it was the lust of the eyes that led to the lust of the flesh, that led to what? Adultery and murder with Bathsheba. And then Proverbs 23:5, turn there and we'll see where Solomon understood this one as well. He says, wilt thou set thine eyes, Proverbs 23:5, upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings and then fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Don't set your eyes on things that are going to burn up, he says. But that's what the world wants us to do. And then look at Proverbs 27:20, another verse from Solomon. Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. Remember, he had a lot of wisdom from God. So, the world is constantly bombarding us with the lust of the flesh, with the lust of the eyes. But then, the root one, it started with the devil, the pride of life. The pride of life. It all started with Satan. Look at Isaiah 14, and I'll show you. And Adam and Eve passed it on to us, the sin of pride, which leads to self-righteousness, self-centeredness, selfishness, bitterness, unforgiveness, judgmentalism, gossip, boasting. We could go on and on. All of that stems from pride. A lot of our problems stem from pride. But notice Isaiah 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. If you were to circle the word I in those two verses, you'd see the problem. That's the devil. This was his fall. Basically, I want what God has. I want his power. I want his throne. I want to replace God. He gets his wish for 7 years during the tribulation period. And then it's all over for him. Praise God. But this is our problem, isn't it? Pride. Pride. God hates it, by the way. Proverbs 6, he lists the things that he hates. One of the things he says is a proud look. Proverbs 16:5, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. God doesn't use abomination very often, but he uses it to talk about pride in our hearts. Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall, Proverbs 16:18. God hates pride, but the world is using it against us all the time. So all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, those are the things that the old man loves. But God says, love not the world. So now we know what that means. Love not the things that the flesh lusts after. Love not the things that the eyes lust after. And love not the things that stem from that proudness that's deep in our soul that leads to so many issues. So what does he go on to say? The good news, 1 John chapter 2, verse 17. And the world passeth away, and the lusts thereof. Praise God. This old wicked world that the devil is the god of is going to pass away. And when Jesus comes back there in Revelation 19, he's going to change it all and set up a beautiful new world, and then he's going to burn it all up and start all over. But the point is, this whole system that we see around us is just temporary. It feels very lasting, but it isn't. It will pass away. And if you go to 2 Peter 3:11, God says it's all going to burn up. Isn't it amazing that all these things that we strive for and that we work for and that we try to get and gain, it's all going to burn up. And we're going to go to heaven, and as Timothy says, we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can take nothing out. We don't take any of it with us. 2 Peter 3:11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. Amen? It's all going to get burnt up. It's all going to get dissolved. Back in our passage, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The world's going to disappear. The world's going to burn up. And all of its wickedness, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life, it's all going to go away. But we live forever. Amen. We outlive this wicked world if we're born again. We have eternal life and we will live forever. And that's why God says we're to be living for then and not for now. You know, Colossians 3:20, our conversation is in heaven. from whence also we look for the Savior. And look over, if you would, at Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, where the Bible makes it clear God wants us to live for our new home, not for our old home. Notice Colossians 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which, what? Are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. God says, set your affection on those things, the things that are above. He says, set your affection on things above, not on things on, what? The earth. He goes on to say, for you're dead. We give so much energy and so much time to a dead man. Sad, isn't it? He was crucified the day we got saved. And even though he's dead, sadly, he still causes us trouble. Every day. And we have a battle every day between the old and the new. Between the flesh and the spirit. God says, one of the answers for us, love not the world. Recognize it for what it is, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Recognize who's running it, the devil. And recognize that it's not for us. Love Jesus and serve Jesus. Amen? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And remember, if we're loving the world, we're God's enemy. He said so. He says, whosoever will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. And all that is in the world will pass away. The world passeth away, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And the day you were born again, God gave you eternal life. And we're going to spend forever with Jesus. And do you think we're going to care about how many cars we had? How big our house was? How much money we had in the bank? When we get to heaven, we're just not going to care, are we? We're going to walk on the stuff that people strive for. We're going to walk on gold. And people sweat and hurt each other and even sometimes kill each other for the thing that God made the streets of. I think he did that to make a point. Amen. Of all the things, it's gold. And all the currencies are based on gold. We're going to walk on gold. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Praise the Lord. Lord, we love you.